Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Great America Show. President Biden and President Xi spent 2 hours on a video phone call. What did they talk about? Well, senior administration officials described the call as direct, substantive, and detailed. Now, that's informative, isn't it? However, when the officials were asked what the two leaders actually talked about, the White House offered nothing direct, substantive, or detailed in response. But to hear the White House side of it, Mr. Biden spent much of the time talking about the consequences if Mr. Xi were to provide material aid and equipment to the Russians while they have forces in Ukraine making war. The White House and State Department wouldn't even say generally what the red lines are, nor what the consequences would be for China if Xi were to decide to support Russia's war on Ukraine. For Xi's part, the Chinese government said, quote, China stands for peace and opposes war, end quote. Xi would not go so far as to criticize Russia and its war against Ukraine, and U.S. officials said they weren't sure whether China will decide to support Russia in this brutal war on Ukraine or not. President Biden made no statement after the phone call with Xi, and there we are. Diplomacy, Biden style. The war over the 2020 presidential election, though, is heating up. The New York Times admission this week that Hunter Biden's laptop and contents are authentic has been nothing short of explosive. And as President Trump declared in reaction to the stunning development, quote, the New York Times just admitted that it participated in the effort to rig the election for Joe Biden, end quote. The political corruption of corporate media was on vivid display, and so too the political corruption of the intelligence establishment just a few weeks before the November 3rd election 2020. Former Obama CIA Director John Brennan then authored and with four other former directors of the CIA signed a letter that said they and more than three dozen intelligence veterans who also signed the letter believe the laptop was Russian disinformation. Their ruse worked perfectly on the major newspapers, networks, broadcast, and cable. Corporate media outlets not only refused to delve deeply into the laptop and its evidence of Biden family corruption, but actually worked vigorously to attack the New York Post and knock down their reporting. As Miranda Devine wrote in her book, The Laptop from Hell, CNN President Jeff Zucker and political director David Chalin instructed staff not to follow the Post report, but instead disparage it. And so they did, all of national leftist media. President Trump was right. Just as he repeatedly had warned, the election was rigged. And Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg was playing a part as well, spending more than $400 million to pour into get-out-the-vote programs in precincts that were 90% Democratic. Doesn't sound right, does it? Doesn't sound legal. You and I get to donate a maximum of $2,500 to our favored candidate, but oligarchs have different rules, obviously. And Zuckerberg's pal, Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey, decided to shut down the New York Post on the same day, and they did. Together on the first day of the Post's reporting on the laptop from hell, 2 weeks before Election Day. Oh, yes, Zuckerberg admitted they had been too hasty, that it was a mistake to censor the Post, but he waited until after the rigged election to make his admission. And as President Trump noted, the New York Times waited 500 days to print the news that they saw fit to print, that Hunter Biden's laptop actually was authentic all that time, and all that's inside that laptop implicates the Bidens as well. We have with us now the author of The Laptop from Hell, who has chronicled the travesty and tragedy of this corrupt family and the laptop that should have changed history, the brilliant New York Post columnist, Miranda Devine. And Miranda, welcome to the Great America Show. How does it feel to be honored, vindicated in all of your reporting, to have been first, to have written the most important book, The Laptop from Hell, on this entire escapade. How does it feel?
Slightly ambivalent, I think. You know, I'm not jumping for joy, because if you were one of our readers at the New York Post, or any of your listeners or the Fox News viewers, you knew all this 16 months ago when the Post first started running the emails from Hunter Biden's abandoned laptop. And we did the authenticating. We did the due diligence before publishing. And, you know, I mean, we've run so many stories since then. My book has come out. The receipts are all there. Tony Bobulinski told his story and handed over his material to the FBI. They're very late to the party, but I guess I am glad that New York Times readers are no longer in the dark, and maybe they will realize that they were lied to, hoodwinked about Joe Biden before the election. You know, that's when it counted, when the story first came out, when we first published 3 weeks before the election. That's what mattered. And unfortunately, you know, we know from polls that half of Biden's voters didn't know at the election about this laptop scandal and what it told them about Joe Biden. And fully 10% of them would have changed their vote had they known. And in an election that was, you know, decided by so few people, I think 43,000 people across three battleground states, that would have made a difference.
Yeah, they. What percent did you say? What percent would have changed their votes?
10% of Biden voters would have.
That says something so important about this country right now. With the facts before them, put forward by the New York Post, breaking the story, and then being engaged by every kind of left-wing conspiracy, it seems, known to politics and media, assailed for weeks on end. And only 10%, with the evidence that the Biden family is absolutely corrupt, that everything in that laptop indicated that from the beginning, and much of it absolutely evidence of the corruption of the family itself. It's stunning. But what I think is wonderful is, for all that you've gone through, the New York Post has gone through, your courageous reporting, your diligence in all of this, and to be told by all sorts of functionaries who presume themselves to be national security experts that it was Russian disinformation by the left-wing media, which now is going to be, I think, run over the coals for what they did, saying they could not establish. I was looking at a particular, Miranda, a report by NBC News, this quintessential reporting, saying that this just simply could not be verified. It was just nonsense. Then secondly, the wonderful Leslie Stahl interview on 60 Minutes with President Trump, where she just sat there and just simply lied through her teeth, took a position, dug in, and will be forever known for that interview and those outrageously arrogant statements that she made as he ultimately walked out, as he should have. Your thoughts?
Yes, and who could forget, as well as Leslie Stahl, Christiane Amanpour over there on CNN, so arrogantly had telling the Republican spokeswoman, Liz Harrington, that, you know, I'm a journalist, I'm a reporter, I follow the facts, and, you know, there's never been any problems of Joe Biden and corruption, and none of this story that you're talking about from the New York Post has any validity. And you know, these people posed as journalists and they didn't even try to look at the story. They didn't look at the evidence that we presented. They didn't follow up with people like Tony Bobulinski, who offered himself to the media in a press conference before the election, after our story came out, provided his WhatsApp messages and documents and very credible material that buttressed and also corroborated what was on the laptop, because he was a recipient of a lot of these emails. They didn't try to do proper journalism and do what we did and talk to the laptop repair shop guy or any of the other people who were also recipients of those emails, as I did. They may not want to come out in public, but they were happy to confirm that these emails were real, that they received them. It wasn't really the most difficult journalism to do. It was not beyond the resources of CNN and the New York Times and the Washington Post, but they wanted not to do it. And to make it even worse, they didn't just ignore it, but they traduced the people who managed to get on their shows or who came to them and tried to set them straight about this crucial story that was about one of the candidates that was running for the president of the United States, the leader of the free world. They were so desperate to get rid of Donald Trump that they were happy to put in the most evil or corrupt. I don't know if Joe Biden is that, but they didn't care what he was. It was anybody but Donald Trump. That was how they were, and they threw all the journalistic standards and credibility out the window.
Yeah. I think it's far worse than that, Miranda. I think this story and the time, for whatever its motivation, now coming to terms, at least in part, and very late in its story, what is it, like the 20th paragraph, do they begin to really accept responsibility? But the idea that this was just, who they preferred, that for me just is, this isn't just about who they preferred. This is a corporate media that is corrupt to its bone. There is maybe a handful of outlets that have integrity, and certainly yours is among them, the New York Post. But to suggest that to have this group of so-called national security experts come out and pointedly say it's Russian disinformation, for each one of these outlets, whether it's CNN or NBC News, all of them, to try to knock down a story without even reporting on it, just taking the political view that Biden needs to be president, they're anti-Trump, and he is anti-establishment, and we, by God, are the establishment, and we will crush him as quickly as we can. These people tore up the election of 2020. You remember the 2020 election, according to Krebs, the cyber security guy for Homeland Security, declared it a perfect election. It extends to that. There's nothing perfect about that election. Our courts ran from it. State legislators ran from it. The FBI, the Justice Department, the Attorney General appointed by Donald Trump ran from it. And I think that you and the New York Post deserve immense credit, because you stood basically alone in reporting the facts on Hunter Biden, the Biden corruption. And I'll tell you, there are legions who will, in journalism, in media, in corporate America, big tech and social media. I mean, I think of what Twitter and Meta, also known as Facebook, did to you guys. Are you kidding? This should be a lawsuit of immense proportions, don't you think?
Oh, yes. And look, I mean, there are so many ways that the 2020 election was rigged. And of course, the censorship and suppression of our story is one of them that would have made a material difference, as I said, to the outcome. But Twitter and Facebook, basically what they did was election interference. Within a few hours of our story going online on the 14th of October, 3 weeks before the election 2020, they had, Facebook and Twitter had censored it. Facebook said pending fact checking, which I know they still haven't done because they haven't contacted the other recipients of that first email that we published that showed that Joe Biden had met with Hunter Biden's benefactor, paymaster, from Ukraine, from that corrupt energy company in Burisma. Joe Biden met this guy in Washington, D.C., and he denied it, and his campaign denied it. And it was only halfway through last year when I discovered that this wasn't just any old meeting. This was actually a dinner that Hunter Biden had organized at Cafe Milano in Georgetown for his father, the vice president, in 2015, to meet with Hunter's overseas business partners from three countries, from Russia, from Ukraine, and from Kazakhstan. Joe mm-hmm. Biden met them at the restaurant where they were having dinner in a private room, and his campaign and the White House denied that nonstop until finally my story came out in the New York Post, and the Washington Post's Glenn Kessler decided to do a Pinocchio fact check on me and went to the White House, and of course they respond to him, and they admitted, yes, well, Joe Biden did show up at that dinner, they suddenly remember it, but he didn't stay for very long, and of course he wasn't doing anything nefarious. So, you know, they get away with it. Why wasn't the Washington Post furious about having been lied to previously about that meeting? And this is Facebook and Twitter gave the rest of the media a fig leaf to continue to ignore and traduce our story, because they, with their great might, they censored it and they sent the message to the world that the story lacked credibility. And then I think the most egregious is what you alluded to, which is the John Brennan, James Clapper, Leon mm-hmm. Panetta, Michael Hayden, the 49 yep. former senior intelligence operatives who signed that scurrilous letter just 5 days after our story came out and just a day or two before Joe Biden had to meet Donald Trump at the last debate before the election. And they said that in their expert opinion, the material that we had published from the laptop was Russian disinformation, all the hallmarks of Russian disinformation. They had never looked at it. I mean, they never asked us if they could have a look at it before they made their pronouncement. And they totally ruined their reputations. They used the esteem of their former high office CIA director was John Brennan, and he knew full well that this material on the laptop was correct, because he was the head of the CIA during Joe Biden's vice presidency when Hunter Biden was ricocheting around the world as a crack addict in the company of Russian oligarchs who were in the inner sanctum of Vladimir Putin in Moscow, in Monte Carlo, in Lake Como. He was in Shanghai. He was in Beijing with the top CCP operatives, the right-hand people of President Xi. He and his family were getting tens of millions of dollars from these very shady, unsavory, corrupt people from around the world. You cannot tell me that John Brennan, as head of the CIA and the intelligence services of the United States, were not fully aware of what the son of the president was doing in all these countries. And if they didn't know, they are not doing their jobs very well.
Well, they're not alone in that, of course. Neither did the NSA do its job well. Neither did the FBI. And the Secret Service suddenly can't find 3 years of travel records for Hunter Biden. We're talking about the corruption of every intelligence agency of the United States of America. It is nothing less. It is an absolute disgrace. And we have a Republican Party and a Democratic Party who are engaged in petty nonsense for public consumption. And then at the same time, deny their voices of outrage to say it is time for this to stop. We're going to have a commission on the integrity of the entire U.S. government, because nothing less will work. We don't have a single damn agency in this government that isn't corrupt and provably so. I strongly believe that. And I can't believe that we have such meek, witless fools in our government as to allow the corruption of our entire intelligence and law enforcement apparatus at the federal level?
Lou, I mean, you mentioned the Secret Service, and it really is very telling that they have told, as you said, Chuck Grassley and Ron Johnson, the two Republican senators, that they can't find any communications relating to Hunter Biden for 3 years when Joe Biden was vice president. And, you know, they asked, back in January, they asked the Secret Service. They've been asking the Secret Service for months, but they asked them again in January. And the Secret Service says they don't have any. I mean, I have seen on the laptop a dozen emails from Secret Service, official ones, Secret Service people to Hunter Biden. They were looking after him for much of this period. He did wave them off at one point, I guess because they were cramping his style. Maybe they decided that his drug taking and prostitution and so on was something that they couldn't just sit back and do nothing about. But
his style wasn't cramped much.
There are so many emails. I mean, I can show them what they were talking about. How could they have lost those? It seems incredible. And, you know, the Secret Service pops up a lot in Hunter Biden's story during the 9 years that the laptop covers. And he always seems to have some sort of Secret Service shadowy people there in the background ready to come and rescue him when he gets into a spot of difficulty. Remember when his then lover, his sister-in-law, the widow of his brother who he was living with, took a gun that he just bought and lied about on the background check because he said he didn't do drugs. His sister-in-law, Hallie Biden, took that gun and threw it in a garbage bin in a trash can opposite a school near a local shopping center in Greenville, Delaware, where they were living. And there was a great outcry, and the local police came and the state police came and the Secret Service came, and they went to that gun shop, as the gun shop owner then told reporters. They went to that gun shop, these two men who said that they were Secret Service agents, and they wanted to take away the record of the background check that Hunter Biden had signed and had signed fraudulently by saying that, yes, he was not an addict and he had not taken drugs in the preceding time. There is evidence on the laptop he was taking drugs right up until the time he signed that. So, you know, people have gone to jail for that sort of thing. So the Secret Service was there to cover up. But, of course, when you ask the Secret Service who were those agents, they say no such event happened. And then, you know, there was another time when Hunter Biden was on a crack bender at the Chateau Marmont, and on his text messages, there's a record of a man who did exist at that time. He had just retired from being the head of the LA Secret Service field office, and he was knocking at the door, telling Hunter that there was a problem because a credit card that he'd just used, or a debit card he'd just used to pay a prostitute, was linked to Celtic, which was the, or Celtic, I think you call it, which is the code name for Joe Biden for the Secret Service. And so there, the Secret Service again comes to Hunter's rescue because that his basically a lot of money went through those debit cards, whether it was fraud or accident, who knows. But I think $25,000 was taken off his various cards, and at least one of those was connected to Joe Biden. So there you go. The Secret Service, there's numerous other occasions, but they were definitely involved in rescuing Hunter Biden from himself. And we know that Joe Biden had close personal relations with some of these agents. And we also know that one very senior agent who had been Joe Biden's sort of chief protector, after he retired, he then went and worked in private practice. And he was hired by Jim Biden, Joe Biden's younger brother, and Hunter Biden to do some sort of private eye work for them, doing due diligence on some of their business partners. And the funny thing, addendum to that, Lou, is that like with a lot of bills they didn't pay the bill. So I think a year later, he was still trying to chase up the money. And that's what you find with a lot of people that do work for the Bidens, especially around Joe Biden's Wilmington home, Greenville home. A lot of small tradesmen just find it very difficult to actually get paid. And it seems that the Bidens think that it's such an honour to do work for them that you don't need to have cash in recompense.
Yeah. It is a tawdry tale, to say the least. Filthy corruption. And we have people talking about this loan that he just got for $1 million. With all of this, he gets a loan for $1 million to clean up his delinquent tax debt. And so no harm, no problem. Even though we have evidence, as much as this is condemns Hunter Biden to hell and condemns the Biden family and Joe Biden, who is now demonstrably an illegitimate president, with the great service and assistance of the left-wing corporate media in this country, you have to wonder, what are they thinking about? We have corrupt intelligence agencies, law enforcement agencies at work here. We have not a single whistleblower who has stepped forward from any one of these agencies to say, excuse me, American media, journalists with glorious committed hearts to America, here's the evidence. We haven't had that happen. That is also a stain forever on those agencies and departments to this very day. And I hear people, and I talk to folks who, have great friends in each agency department. They say, but there are good people within there. Where are the good people in this, Miranda? Where are the good people?
Well, look, we do know that the U.S. attorney in Delaware is conducting an investigation. There's been a grand jury there, which has been subpoenaing and hearing testimony from people connected to Hunter Biden, such as, his baby mama went and testified for several hours, and her lawyer insists that Hunter Biden will be indicted. So let's see where that goes. We saw the New York Times story yesterday, really, although in the 24th paragraph, they did admit that the laptop was real and they'd authenticated some of the emails.
Yeah. Yeah.
The story really was about trying to minimize and rehearse in the public Hunter Biden's sort of defense of the we know of three criminal allegations against him that the U.S. attorney is looking at, and that's to do with tax evasion, money laundering, and violation of FARA, the Foreign Agent Registration Act. So the story seems to be, I'm assuming that this has come from the Hunter Biden camp and not from the U.S. attorney camp, which would be appalling. But the rehearsal of the defense seems to be that, there were these tax issues, but he did pay $1 million of tax. Yeah. And he had to borrow the money because he doesn't have the money, which actually I find very dubious, because in the laptop, there's a lot of flurry of conversation between Hunter and his lawyer and his tax accountant over these overdue taxes, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And they were clearing it up.
Miranda, let me interject at this point. One is, we're becoming a nation of lawyers, as if we have to wait on federal process, whether it is a grand jury, whether it is a Justice Department that never, ever produces truth from their investigations that are interminable, it seems, in nearly every instance. But what we don't seem to appreciate is what's standing right in front of us. A government that is fully and with evidence in every case, corrupt. And we don't want to confront that issue. We have reporters who couldn't, I can't even imagine being in the same room with you, for example, or the New York Post, because of your integrity. So why would, for example, Tucker Carlson talk to one of your prime sources, Bob Alinsky, And then as he gets evidence, suddenly it's lost. And he says, you know, Hunter and I went to school together. He brought out the old school tie as a reason not to proceed with what to that point had been interesting investigation on his part. Now, that raises two questions. Nobody wants to talk about it. Was that what actually motivated Tucker to drop it? Was he ordered to drop it? What?
I don't think he's dropped it.
Let me. He's had me on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's a courageous journalist. But I'm telling you, those are questions that are being asked and have been asked. Where is Bob Alinsky? What happened to him and why? What happened to Tucker Carlson?
Well, no. Look, just let me take, I'll take Bob Alinsky first. Bob Alinsky is around and thriving. He did his duty and he doesn't want, I mean, he's a private person. He's a businessman. He already, at great cost to himself, stuck his head up before the election. There's nothing in it for him to continue to be a talking head.
I'm not saying that he in any way has done anything inappropriate. I'm saying with great courage, and as you say, risk to himself, his entire family stood up.
Yes.
But then in November, disappeared. And what I don't understand is why every reporter covering national politics in this country wasn't talking to him throughout. I don't want to get sidelined with Bob Alinsky. I want to turn now to Tucker.
Okay, but let me just say one thing about Bob Alinsky. Yeah. He is talking to reporters off the record. He just doesn't want to be a TV star. And he told Ken Vogel, who was one of the authors of that New York Times piece yesterday, he told Ken Vogel back in October of 2020 that the laptop was legitimate, that the emails were legitimate. Okay, so the New York Times knew. It's not as if Tony Bob Alinsky has gone into hiding. He just doesn't want to have his face on TV every night. Okay. Now, when it comes to Tucker Carlson, every single dealing that I've had with him has been completely on the level with the laptop. He's not hidden anything. He's reported everything as it's come.
He said the evidence, Miranda, I respect you too much to have a discussion about this in this way. Yeah. Let me, if I may, repurpose my language. One, he said the evidence was stolen. He no longer lost, excuse me. And he said that he no longer wanted to pursue the story because he and Hunter were old friends. I mean, that's the kind of nonsense. That may be true.
Lou, that's not my memory of that. It's my memory. My memory of it was that he told his viewers what they ought to know, and which was going to come out anyway because there were emails between them from him and Hunter on the laptop. Right. But so he just divulged that conflict of interest, which was that back when Hunter and his wife Kathleen were married and when he was sober for a period in Washington, D.C., their wives were friends and they went out to dinner a few times. I mean, you know, Washington, D.C. is a very incestuous place. So I don't think they were best friends, but he said he knew one another
in Washington because it's so incestuous.
No, but he did report on it. I don't remember him at all pulling any punches, but what he said was he was divulging his own personal interest in it. So, and he found the Hunter Biden story very sad. I mean, I find it sad and I didn't even know him. I think that he's a raging addict. And the real problem is Joe Biden, and I don't see Hunter. I don't see Tucker Carlson pulling any punches with Joe Biden, and he has me on all the time talking about this story.
Well, I know,
and he's not sugarcoating it.
He's not sugarcoating it now, but he sugarcoated it when it was most important, in my opinion. And by the way, I like Tucker. I love what he's done with his show. Here's a guy who has just, and you've written on this, and I've spoken to this, on the disinformation campaign that was launched against Tucker because he had the temerity to move with a source to say that there were biochemical weapons in Ukraine, laboratories that had been supported by the United States. And it turns out Victoria Nuland backed him up on that, right? To a degree. But nonetheless, the propaganda was coming from the U.S. Department of Defense, not just from Russia. Both were working very hard. Do you not agree?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, the attacks on Tucker and on Tulsi Gabbard from not just Democrats, but from people like Mitt Romney and Adam Kinzinger and, of course, all the left-wing media, you know, the ladies on The Talk, Whoopi Goldberg and so on, wanting them to be locked up and calling them traitors and saying that they were agents of the Kremlin and assets of Putin. I mean, this is so corrosive to American discourse, to leap to the traitor attack, to leap to the Russian disinformation attack, which they have been doing since at least 2016, when they used it against Donald Trump and they crippled the first 3 years of his presidency by, you know, pretending that he was in collusion with Russia and won the election, as Hillary Clinton said, only because of Vladimir Putin's help, which was ridiculous on the face. And then, you know, now the Hunter Biden laptop, the New York Post, Tony Bobulinski, we were all supposedly agents of Vladimir Putin, and they're still doing it. You know, anything that goes against the Democrats, anything that they don't like, any person they don't like, they just accuse of Russia, and they've demonized Russia beyond any rational extent. And I think that part of that demonization of Russia and of Putin, I mean, Putin's obviously a bad guy. He's just invaded Ukraine, but
he's a horrible guy. He is killing defenseless people. He invaded a nation that had done nothing to provoke him other than be too close to the to the successor nation, to the Soviet Union. I mean, it's outrageous. What I say to you, Miranda, that I agree with Tucker that there are laboratories there, because I have evidence of it. The Secretary of State, Deputy Secretary of State, Victoria Nuland, acknowledged such in front of Congress. So I'm going to assume she wasn't lying about that, at least. Whether they had biochemical weapons within them or were manufacturing, we still don't know, but apparently there is a material there that could be very, very lethal and dangerous should the Russians get a hold of it. I want to go back to something, because you said you were, your memories and mine talking about Tucker. He, in point of fact, did do a bit more than I think you recall. He basically called for an end to the investigation of Hunter Biden. And may I quote what he said?
Sure.
Hunter Biden is a fallen man at this point. He once knew the younger Biden well. I never thought Hunter was a bad person. I'm going to read it all for context so that everyone can appreciate this. I thought he had demons, but in the time I knew him, he kept them mostly under control. At some point, he lost control of those demons, and the world knows that now. He's now humiliated and alone. Probably too strong to say we feel sorry for Hunter Biden, but the point is, pounding on a man, jumping on and piling on when he's already down is something we don't want to be involved in. He was telling everybody to back off, and he was vouchsafing the essential goodness of the man. And by the way, we all have no addicts. We have addicts in families all over the country. People know the horror of addiction, but that is not the basis to suspend either your job, your responsibility, or your commitment to
report
the truth.
Lou, I think you're being very unfair, because distinction. Well, I'll tell you why. There's a distinction between the sort of prurient material that was being sent around to everybody at that time. I think some of it was a deliberate disinformation and distraction operation. And I think that there were some Chinese people who were involved in that, because it was a Chinese media agency that was doctoring photographs of Hunter Biden to make it look as if he was a pedophile. Now, those photographs, none of them appear on the laptop. There were other photographs that were presented as if it was more evidence of pedophilia. When you look at the actual photographs laptop, those photographs are not real. Just a minute. So this is what was being given to Tucker. And that was what Tucker was talking about when he said that. I remember he said that, and it was about compassion and, yes, his own personal thing. I agreed with him. I thought that the obsession with the porn and the crack and all the rest of it was beside the point. It gives the people who are trying to dismiss this as a non-story an excuse. The story is not about Hunter Biden and his demons. Obviously, you have to mention that, as I did in my book, because it proves why no one would give him millions of dollars. No, but the other part of the story Tucker has never resiled from, and that is the part that shows that Joe Biden's is intimately involved with and orchestrating all that the money and the influence peddling coming from Russia and China and Kazakhstan and Ukraine and all those countries that, as vice president, he had power over. He was using Hunter as his bag man. And, you know, that's the real story. It's about Joe Biden, not Hunter Biden. So for Tucker Carlson to say, I don't want to continue on bringing out this prurient stuff about crack pipes and prostitutes and all the rest of it, which is what that package that got lost was all about.
I believe I am truly, I have to say, I don't believe at any time I ever reported anything, because I never saw any of the photographic evidence whatsoever. I didn't need to. I mean, when you tell me that the man is a crack addict, that he has hookers and prostitutes, I don't assume they're going to the public library together. I don't need photo evidence of that. But what I do need is for people to just give me a little credit for being able to tell what the real story is. And the real story is that Hunter Biden was the channel and the illumination of the Biden family corruption and the activities of Hunter, crack addict or not. He violated the law in some of the most disgusting ways. But what his father did, what his uncle did, is outrageous. And what the entire intelligence and law enforcement apparatus of the federal government did was to support a man who was actually a traitor to his country because of the acts he committed and those that they covered up in high office. And by the way, being in high office, the vice president of the United States, his misdemeanors become, in my opinion, egregiously felonious and treasonous. He compromised himself before our enemies.
Yes.
And to say that because his son is a crack addict, we can't touch him? Are you kidding me? That's a rationale for what they did? I don't think so. And God bless Tucker. I support him on the research laboratories in Ukraine, as they styled them. But I just can't excuse Tucker anymore in that moment than I can excuse the New York Times, the Secret Service, the CIA. I can't excuse any of them. And I don't give a damn about any other part of it. Our government is threatened by the level of corruption throughout it. It permeates our government.
I just don't see what Tucker didn't do. I mean, I don't see
On it, we probably take this way out of proportion. Let me just say to you what I've tried to communicate. We had too many people who, much like Tucker, decided for whatever personal relationship, for whatever else, that they weren't going to pursue it. He announced on October 30th, think back to this, Miranda, on October 30th, that no one should pile on, that this is over.
He said no one should pile on Hunter. Not that no one should be investigating the strike.
I don't know
Not many people did as much as Tucker did in terms of his interview with Tony Bobulinski. I think that interview was crucial. Great.
It was wonderful. I don't think I made myself clear. I thought he did terrific leading up to that moment.
I just don't know.
By ending it right there, he gave it even more weight that there was nothing to see here. Move along. And they are connected.
I personally stopped writing about the porn and the crack once I thought that the readers had enough information so that they understood that this is not a guy you'd give tens of millions of dollars to because he couldn't even, you know, tie his own shoelaces. So, you know, I could have written, a whole another book about Hunter Biden himself. But,
well, if you're going to write about porn and drug usage, I can understand why you'd tire of it very quickly.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Especially after having to wade through it all on the laptop.
Well,
not a pleasant
experience. What I did not envision was getting into an argument over Tucker Carlson's final days running up to the election.
I
think highly of Tucker. I think highly of the work he did up until the moment where he made an emotional and personal decision not to take the evidence that he had and to be straightforward about what was there and pursue it. I would have, and I think his audience would have taken it very, very well for him to say, my God, this guy and I were great buddies. We had families who were close, and this kills me. But this is the situation, and I have to, as the power of that seat, I have to proceed. Because we had too many people who are not good people who were backing away from the story. And that's a shame.
Well, look, he backed away from personal documents to do with Hunter Biden.
I surrender. You win. I lose.
Well, I just don't think it's fair. You should talk to him about it, really, because I don't know what went on. I just know my personal experience with him coming on the show all the time. He's never backed away from attacking Joe Biden where he deserves it over this corruption. So
I can't think of any other story that he ever has. That's why it looms large here, I think. But it's loomed far too large over this conversation.
Yes.
It is celebratory for you, and it's what we mean it to be. Great work. I think you deserve a Pulitzer.
You.
And I think if they don't have enough at the Pulitzer Committee, they might just reach back to the Times and take their Russian collusion Pulitzer away and hand it over to you if there's some sort of scarcity there that they have to contend with.
We always give
our guests the last word. Miranda, you may take as long as you wish on any subject you wish. Fire away.
Well, Lou, I just thank you very much, and especially for your kind words. And you've always been such a rock and courageous about prosecuting every story wherever it goes. So I take my hat off to you. Pulitzers ought to go to you, but I think you probably feel the same as I do about the Pulitzer, that it's completely sullied. The fact that the Washington Post and the New York Times were showered with the Pulitzer Prize for their dishonest reporting of the Russia collusion story that was so damaging to the Trump administration, so damaging to America. And I think that says it all. But there's also the little matter of the Pulitzer that the Times got in, I think it was 1934, for Walter Duranty. Do you remember that? When he was writing about how wonderful Stalin was. It was just pure Russian propaganda talking about Russian disinformation. Yeah. So he won the Pulitzer there. And I don't think to this day the New York Times has given that Pulitzer back. So I think that if not that they would ever give me or you a Pulitzer in a million years, but who would want to belong to that club? I think it would be sullied. And if it were ever to happen, I would reject it.
Well, you know what? If they have any integrity on that committee, they will do two things. They will retrieve those Pulitzers, since the Times doesn't have the integrity to return them. And secondly, they will hand you yours and test your force of will at that moment. I know you will turn it back, but I think they should do it anyway, because you do deserve it, and they know it, and shame on them. Miranda Devine, you're terrific. You're a great American. We appreciate your time. And I swear our next discussion, I will not raise a single objection about anything.
No, you can object to everything, but I just, you know, I like Tucker a lot, and I believe in his integrity. So,
well, I do too. I just don't believe that in that instance, well, the simple truth is I would have preferred he gone a different direction.
Yeah,
I think we could leave it with that.
Fair enough. Yes.
And I'm glad he did go the right direction with those research laboratories and stood up to all of the nonsense that was being spewed at him from every quarter.
Yes.
But not this quarter. See, we support people. We sometimes disagree with people. I know you haven't heard that.
Which is the way it should be.
That I ever disagree with anyone. Anyway, you're great. And thank you so
good
much.
Good on you, Lou. Thank you.
Thanks, Miranda, for being with us. Thanks for the spirited conversation. And congratulations on your splendid reporting throughout the terrific book, Laptop from Hell, which we recommend to everybody. And thank you, everybody, for being with us. Tomorrow, the chairman of the Conservative Partnership Institute joins us. Jim DeMint believes the Republican Party must put their agenda before the American people in the upcoming campaign for the midterms. And DeMint praises Senator Rick Scott for going against Senator Mitch McConnell and putting out his own 11-point agenda. We'll be taking all of that and more up tomorrow. Please be with us. Till then, God bless you, and God bless America.